But today I'm going to deal with one that I'm sure you have dealt with before. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how to deal with hypocrites. Now, there are none in here. We all have a little hippo in us, amen? We all have a little hippo in us. But how did Jesus deal with hypocrites? Let's go to Matthew 15, because he shows us what you got to do with a hypocrite. And he was dealing with the teachers of the law, the religious people of his day. And here's how he dealt with it. Ready? Matthew 15, 7. Here you go. You hypocrites. That's the way Jesus dealt with it. Just call it out. Just hypocrites. He said, may I pray for you? No, you hypocrites is what he said. He said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Let me just stop there for a moment. There are some people that when they get hurt by someone that claims to be a believer, they stop believing. Well, let me tell you something about hypocrites is that God prophesied they would be around you. And in fact, that there may be times you might have a little hippo in you. So it's there. So you got to deal with that. But how do I deal with hypocrites? Look what he says. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So before you sit down, look at your friend and say, Jesus is going to help me be the real deal. Come on, amen. He's helping me be the real deal. Amen. You can be seated. Well, how many of you would say that you know someone that you know can be a hypocrite? How many know somebody? Just raising hands. You know somebody be a hypocrite. I didn't say point. I said raise your hand. Amen. it's a little bit in all of us, you know. And Jesus says, well, you got to deal with that. I'm not telling you that you start out with what Jesus did it. There was a whole different set of circumstances there. But Jesus does show us something here that you have to confront hypocrites. And I'm going to show you why in just a minute, why it's so important that you do. And we'll really break it down here for you for a moment. But Jesus is basically saying, he says, you guys love me with your lips, but you don't have a you have lip service, not life service. You don't even offer it. He said, you give nothing to me. And when he's talking to this, he uses this word hypocrites, but in the Greek it's hypocrites. And when you look at this word hypocrites, it literally means an actor, a stage player, a dissembler, an actor, a stage player. So the moment he said that, they immediately understood what he's talking about, because you got to understand, the Greeks, when they would have plays, what they would do is they would sometimes come out and they would have a mask on. So it was the real person, they'd have a mask on. Sometimes the mask would have two sides and they could flip the mask over while they played. And Jesus saying, let me tell you what you are. You're a mask wearer. You're not really who you say you are. Now, how many of you have ever been around some mask wearers? Come on, guys. Some of you guys might be working in an office complex right now with a guy that you say, he says he's a Christian, you're his buddy, but he says he's a Christian, and you're just about sick and tired of him because I'm telling you, his behavior, I mean, he's dropping F-bombs all the time. He's sitting there, and he's one cutting up with all the dirty jokes all the time, and you're just going, man, what's the deal with this guy? I just wish he'd lay off and just, you know, you want to do something about it. It makes you angry almost. Come on, I mean, we live in a real world with people that say they're Christians and they behave like that and they're putting a bad taste in non-Christians' mouths, you know. I mean, some of you teenagers are in here. I'm going to tell you who hates it the worst. Millennials hate hypocrisy. Hate it. We all got a little hippo in us, but they hate it. They hate it big time. And teenagers hate it. And there may be teenagers sitting in here going, yeah, Pastor Sam, let me tell you something. I hate it when I go to school and they're in youth service raising their hand and talking about Jesus, but when I'm over there at the school, Pastor, let me tell you how they behave. Let me show you how they treat people. You know, Pastor, I know the parties they're going to. I know they're sitting there, you know, compromising their sexual morals. And I have a hard time. I don't even want to go to church anymore because I can't stand it. I'm telling you, this generation cannot stand it. Okay, big amen. It's all your teenagers over here. They love Jesus. Amen. Let them know you're glad they're in the house of God. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I mean, we all have to deal with it. I mean, some of you know Mr. and Mrs. Churchgoer that go to this church, and you can't hardly stand them. Some of you might be married to Mr. Churchgoer. Seriously, he may get in here and amen, praise the Lord, and carry on this front, but he's sitting there cussing you out when you get home. He treats the kids poorly. Or you may be married to Mrs. Churchgoer that comes in here and gives all Jesus praise and looks real good in the small group, but you know what she's saying and what she's doing. Your kids are just, they don't even want nothing to do with Jesus because of her behavior. Or they're full of greed, or they're Miss Churchgoer. Full of greed, full of envy, gossip, backbiting. I'm telling you, it just irritates you. How many of you know it's the real deal? It happens in life. It happens in life. And you say, what do we do? Just let it slide, Pastor? No. The Word of God shows us three principles. I'm going to give you from a scripture, three principles on how you handle someone who's in hypocrite, someone who is really being a hypocrite, and they're carrying this air of Jesus. You are responsible as Jesus followers to help them. You're responsible. So I want you to go to this one text. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So I want to go to Galatians chapter. Let's go to the first verse, okay? But I want to deal with the first part of it. And I want to give you three things that I want you to say repeatedly with me so that it'll stay in your spirit, because I'm going to tell you something. You are going to face hypocrites, even in your own family, even in your church. There's a little bit of hippo that can get in all of us, amen? A little bit of hippo can get in all of us. But the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus confronted it, so we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. And here's the first thing. Let's go to Galatians 1. Let's look at the second part of verse 1. It says, but watch this. But watch. Say that with me. Watch yourselves. Or you also may be tempted. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Let's say that out loud. Watch yourself. Look, say it to your neighbor. Watch yourself. You remember Humphrey Bogart? He's looking at you, kid. No, here's looking at me, kid. It's look in the mirror before we ever say anything to anybody else. He says, be careful, because as you are pointing out someone's hypocrisy, you are vulnerable to the same temptation. I'm telling you, it's kind of odd, but he says, I'm going to tell you, do you know the pressure that puts on me as a pastor? Because I'm always having to address this in my own life and everybody else's life. And so when you're having the one to preach it and the one that has to bring it out, you got to be careful that you don't become the one that becomes the most vulnerable to it. He says, so here's what you have to do. You have to say, what about me? You have to say, what about my life? Why? Because here's what happens to it. Pride gets connected. And when God uses you to influence someone's life, when you see the hypocrisy, what happens is you have to bring yourself down lower, because you are being brought up to a spiritual level to do something, a responsibility. And then pride starts coming in. And how many know that pride is the root of every sin we have? It's there. Even insecurity is a result of pride, every bit of it. So pride comes in. How many know what the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18? It says, pride goes before what? And a haughty spirit before the fall. He's saying, you've got to really watch this. So if God is using you, because he will use you, because it's your responsibility, he says, watch yourself. Say it together with me. Watch yourself. So that means you got to come with a pure motive in your heart, not to manipulate, not to chew someone up because you're just angry with them. Because see, sometimes it may be someone close to you and you're just angry and you're allowing anger to rule you instead of genuine, pure love. When you're looking at their best interest at heart, even when they're doing stuff that you know they may be sowing discord, they may be doing crazy stuff, you've got to make sure that you come back to center to watch yourself, that you have pure motive, a pure heart, and you're coming out of genuine love and interest for that person, not seated out of anger for their disobedience. Are you following me? He said, so watch yourself. He said, that's it, Pastor. Tell them, watch themselves, because that's why I quit going to church, because all them hypocrites in church. Remember, how many remember Zig Ziglar, the motivational guy, see at the top? How many remember him? He was trying to invite this business guy to come to church with him one time, and he invited the guy to church. He says, well, I'd go, but he said, let me tell you something. He said, I won't go to church because all that's at church are hypocrites. And Zig Ziglar just smiled at him. He said, oh, he said, that's okay. He says, we always have room for just one more. So teenagers, let me just tell you something. You will see hypocrisy happen in people. You may even see it in your own family. You may even see it in someone that's a leader in your family. It happens, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. The word prophesied, God prophesied that we're human beings and we're only human. And sometimes we can't even recognize when we're going into that sin. We don't even recognize it. We don't even notice when it's beginning to happen to us. But he said, let me just say something. You're going to see hypocrites in church all the time. And then I know some people that aren't in church today because of them hypocrites in that church. Well, there are hypocrites in the church. There's something sitting here today. We all get a little hippo in us. Okay? We all get a little hippo in us. But I'm going to tell you something. If the hypocrites are in church and I'm staying out because there's hypocrites in the church, well, at least the hypocrites in church, at least the hypocrite is closer to God than you are because you're staying away from God because of them. I'm preaching better than you're letting on. That's all right. Look what Paul said, the Holy Spirit. Look what the Holy Spirit said. Holy Spirit, keep saying this because when you're used to point it out, folks, what do you have to do? Say it. Watch yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, so if you think you are standing firm, if you think you are standing firm, what does it say? It says, be careful to you and me. Sam, be careful. Church member, be careful. Teenager, when you're addressing, be careful that you do not fall. Wow. I'm telling you, folks, it's easy. It can happen just like that. It can happen. Just like that, it can happen. In 1945, there were these two young men in their mid-20s that were literally taking the culture in America by storm with their ability to preach. The two guys' names were Billy Graham and Chuck Templeton. Two guys, unbelievable preachers. They were packing out auditoriums and stadiums. I mean, they were just taking it. In 1945, they were taking it by storm. And most evangelicals back then and evangelical leaders were putting their money on Chuck Templeton because he was just an outstanding communicator. People just loved to hear him preach. And both men were both friends. They were both friends. And one article in 1946 called the National Association of Evangelicals published an article. The article was called Best Used of God. If an article comes like that, please do not put my name in it. Best Used of God. Billy Graham was not even mentioned in the article. Chuck Templeton was in the article. Chuck Templeton, they believed, was the Babe Ruth of evangelism. He was packing places out. People were being moved. He was just knocking it out of the park. Billy Graham wasn't even mentioned. By 1950, none of you have heard of Chuck Templeton, but Chuck Templeton walked away from God, took a job in television and in radio, totally walked away from the things of God, didn't believe in Jesus Christ, even did not believe in the validity of Jesus Christ, even wrote a book on why you shouldn't believe in Jesus Christ, totally walked away from the faith. And by 1950, the guy that was supposed to be the Babe Ruth of evangelism wasn't even in the game. He struck out, wasn't even in the game. Why? Because when God uses you to approach, you've got to always watch yourself, church, because God will put you in that position. So watch yourself, lest you fall. Say, God, let me become more humble. Let me see it inside of me. It's always easy to see it in somebody else. It's hard to see it in you and me. Come on, everybody else can spot greed in somebody else, but never spot in themselves. Guy drives up with a Lexus. What do some people in church do? Look at materialism. We have materialism, dear. Glad we're more spiritual. We'd never buy a Lexus. Materialism. But we don't want to talk about the fact that you have three-car garage and you can't pull your car in because you got so much garage sale fodder in there. We don't want to talk that you had to build an outshed in the back of the yard because you got so much stuff you piled up because you can't turn loose of it. But they're greedy, but you're not. See, this is the thing. This is the thing. It's so hard to detect. That's why you keep saying, be careful, watch, be careful, check your motives, check it all the time, because God will use you. Come on, friends, how many believe what we've got to do if we're going to face hypocrisy is do what? Watch yourself. Watch yourself, God. Now, let's look at the second principle out of the scripture. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, he says, now, brothers, everybody say brothers, and sisters as well, amen, brethren and sisters. Sisters, If someone is caught in a sin, and this can be hypocrisy or anything else, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, so let me say, when you think that you're exempt from this, and there's someone close to you that's being caught by this, you are being disobedient if you can't watch yourself and then do the next part. Restore him what? Gently. What an instruction from the Holy Spirit. He says, when you see it, sometimes you can be driven by anger, you can be driven because you're mad, but he says, you can't do that. He says, you must restore with such gentleness. Everybody say, restore gently. Restore gently. So first of all, I got to do what? Watch yourself. Secondly, restore gently. And look what it implies here. Notice he says, brothers, which also infers sisters. Watch this. Brothers, sisters, you that are spiritual. What does this mean? When you see the word brothers invoked, what does that mean? That means that it's regarding Christ's follower speaking to another Christ follower. Some of us are Christ followers trying to go to non-Christ followers to tell them to quit acting like hypocrites. You cannot ask a person who's not a Christian to act like Christ. It's not going to happen. So don't go after non-Christians, your boss who doesn't know Jesus, and go tell him, you need to get right, because he doesn't know any better. It's talking about brothers. It's talking about sisters. So what does this imply here? What this implies is there has to be authentic relationship between brothers and sisters in Christ. So if there's authentic relationship, it's real. That means I can be transparent with every victory and every defeat, every challenge and every success. It ought to be a place, because what I feel there is genuine love for me, even in my failure. So what does that mean? There must be genuine love. Because sometimes, folks, Christ followers, come on, we can mess it up sometimes. We're carnal. We can mess this up sometimes. We can really foul it up. We get misguided motivations, and we come off totally wrong. We can come off condemning. We can come off harsh. We can come off prideful. We can come off, you know, spiritually superior. But he says you got to do number one, what? Watch yourself. And then come restoring them gently. Be careful. Never come off with pride. Never come off with condemnation. Never come off, thus saith the Lord. Never come off harsh to them. Never do that. Just say that with me so it stays with us. Never do that. Look at them and say, don't do that. I don't like that. Tell them that. Amen. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come off gently. So, well, how would I approach, Pastor? How can I approach? Well, let me help you just for a moment with just the approach. Because remember, this is not about unbelievers. This is about people you have authentic, genuine relationship with. See, because what happens sometimes is we come off pointing out someone's failure, but we never had a relationship with them. We don't know them. We've never treated them kindly. And the only time we want to talk is when we think you're messing up. Well, who wants to talk with someone that the only time the conversation is when you want to tell me how bad I am? It needs to be someone that you rejoiced with me when I was doing well. You supported me when I was doing well. So now I can receive when you see that I'm doing something wrong that I don't see in hypocrisy. Are you following what I'm saying? Because some people try to do stuff and they have no relationship. Well, how do you do that? He says have genuine relationship. And then how do I approach? Approach gently. So let's say, You're sisters, you're with another sister, you're going to a Bible study together. And you know that something's not right. In fact, you know verifiably that she's caught in adultery. How do you approach her? What do you do? Leave her? Just go on? What do you say? And what do you do? If you have authentic relationship with her, you put your arm around her. And you say to her, you know, I'm one of your greatest friends, and I genuinely love you. And if I didn't love you, I would leave you out there to be destroyed by Satan and a decision that is going to wreck your life. But I love you too much to see you destroyed. And I'm going to tell you, you can have the courage to do what's right. But I am not going to let Satan get away with this without me saying, I love you, and I'll stand with you until this thing is right. Even when you're afraid, even when you lack courage, I'm going to be right there with you. That's how you approach. All right, let's say, guys, you're in a small group. You know, one of your buddies, you know they're caught up in porn or some other addiction, alcohol, whatever. Name it. Put your arm around them and say, dude, you know I'm your friend. You know I don't wake up every morning saying, you know what I'm going to do? I just want to see if I can tick Fred off today. I didn't wake up like that today because you're my friend. And I love you so much that I could have been silent, but I love you so much and I know God's plan for you. And you need to make this right, and I'm going to walk the journey with you to be whole. Come on, friends. How many of you know that is your responsibility, not the pastor's, to always do it and just preach it? I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Maybe somebody attends Grand Rapids First, and you know for a fact they are very, very, very rebellious in their heart toward what God does in this church. Very rebellious. They're vocal. They're open about it. I may not know a thing about it, but you do, and you're their friend. And you know it's manifesting because every time something happens, they're critical of every little thing that happens in the church. And here's what I've discovered. The problem people talk about usually isn't the problem. There's a problem under the problem, and this is just the manifestation of it. And if you really love them as a Jesus Christ follower, and they're critical, they seem like, and they just can find fault with anybody, any leader in church, they're going to rip it. They've never said a kind thing, never got behind anything, but quick to gather people around them and quick to gossip. Do you know as a Jesus Christ follower, he is saying it is your responsibility as a sister that loves Jesus and loves them to put your arm around them and say, you know what? You know I love you and you're my friend. But Jesus Christ, this is his church. And this is his bride. You never slap your wife. You never punch your husband. So don't slap his bride. Because his bride is very important. And so are you in this bride. And I want you to fulfill your part in this body of Christ by loving his bride and loving him. Go make it right. Seriously. Because the Bible tells us, and see, and you don't come and listen. And how do we approach people? Come on, we restore gently. Gently. You don't come in with barrels loaded and say, turn or burn, you heathen. You don't sit there and rip people up. The goal is never condemnation, church. Never, never can you come condemning or judging. You cannot do that. We can't do that. I can't do that. I've caught myself doing that and said, you can't do that. The goal is never condemnation. The goal is restoration every time to get back and whole with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 again. He says, you who are spiritual should. You should. You should be doing this. You know it's there. You should be having the conversation with your buddy. You should be talking to that sister. You should be talking to your spouse. You should. And you can't let it slide. You should. He said, you should do what though? Restore. Not condemn. Not chew up and spit up because you're mad, you're ticked off. You restore them. That word gently is katartizo. Katartizo. It literally means to completely, watch, to complete thoroughly. In the Greek, it means to repair or to adjust. Or maybe you start saying, maybe they're not caught up, maybe they're not in some kind of sin, but maybe they just need an adjustment because you see their attitude going the wrong way. You start watching them watch certain things. They start hanging out with certain people that influence and they're pulling away from God. They just need you to come along and make a little adjustment. But sometimes it may be so wrecked, it may be so bad that they need you to complete them thoroughly and totally get them repaired. He says, our job is to restore them gently and to adjust and repair. That's your role as a Christian in the body of Christ. Oh my. James 5:19. My brothers, see here again, relationship. My brothers, it's not to unbelievers, it's to people that are Christians. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him or her from the death and cover over a multitude of sins. In other words, they don't hold them in judgment. They don't think they're somebody bad. They say, we know where you are. We've been there ourselves, and we're going to walk the journey with you until you're completely, thoroughly made whole in Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody. That's the body of Christ, helping the body of Christ. So what is it, first of all? We got to do number one, what? Watch yourself. Secondly, Restore gently. Thirdly, here we coming in for a landing. You ready for this? Verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will fulfill that love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You'll fulfill it. How? By carrying each other's burdens. If I could put it just a real simple way, just care for each other. If you have to talk to your spouse, your wife, you have to talk to a sibling, you have to talk to a church member, someone at work that's a believer, just simply care for them. Care for each other. Can we say that together? Care for each other. That word there in the Greek is bastizo. Bostadzo. It really means, watch this, to lift, to sustain, and say the last word, endure. Why would they put the word endure in there? Because what he's saying is you don't just confront. It means you're willing to commit to walk the whole journey with them that may take longer than 2 hours to solve. It may take 2 months. He said, if you're really a person that genuinely loves them, you will help them walk through that no matter what the issue is, whether it's drug, it's alcohol, it's porn, it's same-sex attraction, it's lying, it's dishonesty, it's prejudice in their heart. You will walk with them the whole journey until they're completely whole. You just don't confront. You say, I'm going to walk this journey and we're going to do this together. We don't just go, you're wrong. You're wrong. Get it together, Jack. Go to the altar, repent, you'll get fixed. No, I'm going to walk with you. Come on, how many times we're so quick just to point it out but never walk the journey? Well, look at him, look at him. See that boy over there? Look at him, look at him. He's ushering. That boy used to smoke pot with my boy. Can't believe they let that riffraff come in this place. He smoked pot with my boy. What you ought to do is go over and become a friend with that young man, invite him to be a part of your small group, and help him grow to be the man of God that you ought to be. And that you are. Look at her. She's up there singing in the choir. Can you believe it? My word. Do you know that she was married to my son? Dropped him? She's on her fourth. Hoochie mama. Jesus looked at one lady, says, you're on the fifth, and you're not even married to him. But that's who he allows at the table. People that are broken, torn apart, there's something beneath the problem, there's hypocrisy in their life, but he says, here's, I love you so much that I will talk with you, and I will walk the journey with you, no matter what takes, because you're going to be completely and thoroughly whole. And can I tell you, I'm bringing myself down low with you, that we both can rise up in Jesus Christ. Come on, church, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To carry each other's burden, to care for one another, care for each other. Say it with me, church, care for each other. You know what the reason why I push small groups so much? Do you know why 40 people join small groups? And tonight we're starting small groups again. Every person ought to be in a small group in this church. Every person, why? Because it's in that small group where you go deeper in the Word. It's in the small group where you laugh together. And then you start getting comfortable and know each other. Then you make yourself a little bit more vulnerable. And then some believer walks you and say, you know, I went through that same thing. Hey, man, if God can deliver me, he can deliver you. Man, if God saw me through that, I'm still taking the battles. If God can take me, he can take you. Man, we start doing that. That's why small groups are so important. So tonight, listen, those of you in this body, you say, I want to grow, Pastor. 6 p.m. tonight. Go to Entry I. They'll be waiting there with you with smiling faces. You say, well, I tried a small group. I didn't like it. Fine, we'll find you another one. Well, I don't like it. I don't like it. We'll find you another one. Well, I don't like it. We'll find you another one. Well, I didn't like that one. We'll find you another one. We'll like it. Then we'll make you your own group. That's what we'll do. Amen. You can just sit there and talk to yourself all day long. Amen. Seriously, invite someone. Listen, church family, there's some of you that need to bring brothers and sisters in the body. Some of you have been in this church since Hector was a pup. And you hadn't had one conversation with somebody that you don't know here. You should invite them and say, hey, why don't you come in a small group with me tonight? Be a part of a small group. Well, ours is full. Well, I have an idea. Why don't you take an 8-week journey and say, I'll be a host and I'll get in touch. I'll get on the website, Pastor. I'll get in touch with Pastor Candy and I'll host one for 8 weeks. I can be still part of my group, but I'm going to host one for 8 weeks because I want to bring this new guy into this group. I'm going to bring this new lady into this group.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We'll walk the journey. Celebrate recovery. What a place. What a place of victory and testimonies. Come on, somebody give God praise. Celebrate recovery is off the hook. I mean, I'm telling you, it is off the hook. Some of you going through stuff, you say, Pastor, I don't like the way I'm living. I don't like this. I'm going to tell you, there are places, small groups. Celebrate recovery, man. If you're going through hang-up hurts and habits, man, it's a safe place to go. Just pull up. Just go on over there. Was it start at 7 p.m.? 7 p.m. over there at the Life Center on Tuesdays. Just pull right up there. You saw the advertisement. Just walk up there with your big old smiling face. They'll say, come on. Some of you may know somebody that's going through something and you won't have the conversation. Say, hey, listen, I'll go with you. Then I'll get you connected with other folks there. Church, how many believe if we are going to help people be whole, we've got to, number one, watch. Number two, and number three, care for one another. That means I walk the whole journey. Okay, everybody take a big deep breath. I'm going to stop. So everybody take a big deep breath, okay? I got one little thing to tell you. Take a big deep breath. Let's go. Okay, what I'm going to tell you is a little tough, so we better take one more. Okay, you ready? Because I'm going to pack a little heat on this one. You may be sitting here this morning going, say, Pastor, you've taught us how to deal with hypocrites. But what if I am a hypocrite here this morning? And basically, hypocrite, you know, a hypocrite is the person who's always complaining that there's too much sex and violence on their DVR. See, here's the deal, is that you know today that there's a little hippo in you that's starting to take advantage of you, and you know it. What if today, Pastor, and listen closely, what if I am living in hypocrisy right now? What I love about God is that he always shows it and exposes it in the Word of God. Think of King David, everybody. You remember King David? There he was. Ruling a country, lots of power and authority. And then one day he was supposed to be out to war like kings should be at war in the springtime. Instead, he was in bed and he was in a place where he shouldn't have been. And then he saw something he shouldn't have seen. And when he saw something he shouldn't have looked at, he started thinking thoughts that he shouldn't have been thinking. And then the thoughts he was thinking led to something, doing something he shouldn't have done, and he did it. And the Bible just lays it out there. He was called the man after God's own heart, and the Bible just lays it out there because that's the way God is. He just lays it out there. And he commits adultery with another man's wife, Bathsheba. And then he tries to hide it. You know, when you're living hypocrisy, you try to start hiding the stuff. You try to start hiding the stuff that's going on in your life. And he tries to hide all this stuff, and he keeps trying to do it until a whole year goes by. A whole year goes by. But see, people who really love people, people who are spiritual, and you're spiritual people, if you really love them and you genuinely love them, you genuinely care and you have a relationship, you owe it to them to have a conversation with them. It's wrong. It is your responsibility as Jesus followers, brother, to have that conversation with that man. Young lady, to have that conversation with that friend. If you see it and you genuinely love them and you come in humility. So Nathan the prophet comes up to him because he loved him. He says, King David, I got a story for you. There are two guys in the kingdom. There's one guy, filthy rich, man. He's got cattle. He's got sheep. I mean, he can't even count them all. Can't even keep inventory. He said, but there's another poor guy here in the town. Here's a poor guy in the town. All he has is one little lamb, but he loves that lamb so much, he keeps it in the house. He don't put him a penny. He keeps him in the house. It sits there and eats with him. At night, it snuggles up next to him at night to keep him warm. He said, he loves this like it's like a family member. Well, I heard that the rich guy with all the cattle had some friends coming through, and they were hungry, so he said, hey, look, I'll fix you something to eat. But instead of taking one of his own sheep, he goes and takes it from the poor man that only has one little lamb, slaughters that lamb, and feeds everybody. For a whole year, David got by with his hypocrisy. Whole year, and he thought, I'm cool. Because, see, most people living in hypocrisy, they start believing and rationalizing the hypocrisy. It's just, I got control of this. Pastor, it's not going too far with him. We're just having conversations in the break room. We never, ever, ever show it for what it is. And then David says, Nathan says, what do you think we ought to do, David? And here's what happens to people living in hypocrisy. When they don't deal with it, they themselves become Pharisaical and harsh in judgment because they're not watching themselves. And look what he says, 2 Samuel 12:5. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you're the man. You're the guy stealing another man's little lamb that was precious. What did David do? You can run, keep living in the deceit, and be destroyed. But David was a man after God's own heart, and he knew God would never push you out. When you do one thing, watch yourself and have humility. And David breaks. He had the courage to break because he boldly said, okay, there's going to be so much news media on this. They're going to talk about this until Jesus returns. But he had the courage to face it. And God restored him completely and thoroughly that he would write in Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. He said, God, now I'm going to have the courage and the boldness. I know I may even seem like I'm going to be embarrassed, but God, I know you will stay the whole journey with me until I'm completely made whole. You will restore the joy of my salvation with you. And it's the same thing he does today. For those of you that are dealing with somebody living in hypocrisy, it's going to take courage. It's going to take pure, genuine love for you to watch yourself, restore gently, and care for them until they completely are whole, no longer how long you have to endure to walk the journey with that brother or sister. And God's grace is here for you today. But there may be some of you in here today saying, Pastor, I'm the woman. I am the man. And I pray today, I've been praying today that God would give you the courage to say, enough is enough. Today I turn, Jesus, and I follow you with my whole heart. He's going to give you boldness. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would give you boldness as a man, boldness as a woman, to say, today I can stop this and I can have the joy of my salvation back. Because he said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you our sins and to cleanse you from every single bit of unrighteousness. He takes it all away. How many thank God he is gentle to those who will simply respond. Simply respond.